Dr. Dan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, this afternoon, the view of our special guest, Mr. William Green, and we're going to be talking about something that, well, could impact upon my ministry and ministries all across America. But I'm going to let Mr. Green talk about that. Mr. Green, thank you so very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us what this is all about?
Well, you know, back until about 1987, there was an FCC regulation that was enforced called the Fairness Doctrine. And this was a federal regulation that required broadcasters to basically to present both sides of any issue, especially controversial issues. And so the Federal Communications Commission enforced this regulation. It was never a law enacted by Congress. It was a regulation from the FCC. It was enforced from about 1949 to about 1987. So when this rule was in place, radio stations and TV stations could face very hefty fines if their stations aired controversial statements on any type of public affairs without providing equal time to opposing viewpoints. And so the result of having this fairness doctrine, this regulation in place, was basically self-censorship by broadcasters who avoided politics to escape any potential government retaliation. And so what we had was, when this rule was dropped under the Reagan administration in 1987, it really led directly to the rise of talk radio. It's talk radio that has enabled average citizens to have their voices heard across America. Well, what's happening now is the liberals that and the liberal Democrats that have taken over in the U.S. House of Representatives and in the U.S. Senate, in conjunction with a few Republicans that have started teaming up with them, want to bring back this fairness doctrine, which would basically kill talk radio as we know it today. And so what we're doing here at RightMarch.com is trying to sound the alarm, and others are doing so as well, that they are trying to basically kill talk radio, kill the free speech that is heard today on shows like this one. And so we're trying to spread that alarm, let people know, and we've set up ways where people can contact their congressmen, contact their senators, and let them know that we do not want the fairness doctrine brought back again.
Well, of course, they would have to just shut it down, ABC, CBS, and NBC, because all of these programs are certainly biased. They're not presenting both sides. And I can remember when the Fairness Doctrine was in force and writing to a local station about a program they put on about the United Nations, and they denied that they'd ever had a program there. Oh, my goodness, we looked at our log, and there was no program there in the United Nations. Sorry, we can't, you know, and they simply lied about it. So,
well, and in fact, what's interesting about the Fairness Doctrine is that they have set it up so that it doesn't apply to news. And therefore, any of the mainstream media outlets and the news shows and so forth that we know are very obviously biased in one direction, they won't even be covered under the Fairness Doctrine, so they can continue to put their one-sided stuff out there. And instead of what we have today, which is alternative media like talk radio and the internet and so forth, instead of having these alternative media available where people can get the truth and go outside of the mainstream media, we will be stuck back again with the mainstream media.
And because that's the last thing we want. We have to have the ability to get the truth out, or else freedom as we know it will soon become a remembrance of things past. We'll be right back.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Dial 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border back with The Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts, now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central. Formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with The Divided Kingdom.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and we're certainly moving towards a point where they're going to be requiring, we're going to have to have a number, and we're not going to be able to buy or sell, and it sounds to me like that has to do with economics, but be that as it may, we have with us Mr. William Green, and of course, he's talking about the return of the fairness doctrine. Well, how far along is this? Has the legislation been presented yet, William? Should I call you William or Bill or what?
William's fine. In fact, Representative Maurice Hinchey, who is a congressman, Democrat congressman out of New York, said he is going to propose legislation that he's proposed several times in the past, but of course the Republicans were in charge in the past and the legislation didn't go anywhere. Well, now the Democrats are in charge. And there's a good chance that this bill could move forward. You've got Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid both saying that they are interested in moving it forward. In particular, Representative Hinchey's bill is called the Media Ownership Reform Act, or MORA. And it's interesting what they've done here. They've been complaining for quite some time that there's not diversity in ownership of radio and television stations in local markets, that there's conglomerates that own high percentages of market share in different local markets. And so what they're trying to do is pass legislation that will restrict what percentage of local markets these corporations can own. Well, what they have done is, in that legislation, they have brought in the fairness doctrine and included it. They have coupled the fairness doctrine with the media ownership issue so that they can get the fairness doctrine passed as part of something that they think people will say, oh, yeah, fairness and media ownership. Well, we all want to make sure that it's all fair, and so let's all get behind this. The fairness doctrine itself is probably the most misnamed and inappropriately named doctrine that there's ever been. When it was in existence from 1949 to 1987, it was unfair in inhibiting broadcasters and callers' free speech rights.
Well, I think what we ought to do then is start referring to it as the unfairness doctrine.
We could do that, or we could refer to it as the censorship doctrine. That's basically what you will end up with. It's interesting because it's not government officially censoring speech. It is government saying, well, if you're going to have this side of an issue, you are required to have an equal amount of time to the other side or sides of that issue. Well, what happens is, station managers and station owners and so forth, just like they did back then, they say, well, my airtime is valuable. I'm not going to just give it away like that. And so what they do is they stifle the speech on their own stations and say, we're not going to have anything controversial. We're not going to have any issues. And that's the reason you didn't have talk radio before the Fairness Doctrine was repealed. And it's the reason that when the Fairness Doctrine was repealed, talk radio exploded. Rush Limbaugh came about at that point, and you see now the hundreds, if not thousands, of talk radio shows that have promulgated nationwide since the Fairness Doctrine was repealed.
Well, you know, Chris, the thing is that I really think that what we need to do is get the word out and get the people contacting their congressmen when we hear that this thing is going to get into committee. So I hope you're going to be right on top of that and be watching this legislation. And I think that the fine, we need a slogan, you know, like the amnesty bill. That was a great slogan for the Immigration Act because, of course, what it did was everybody's against amnesty. By calling it the amnesty bill, why, of course, it helped to defeat it. And I think your phrase, the censorship doctrine, I think that's a great phrase.
Well,
and nobody
wants censorship.
I think
it's one that could stick very easily because it really is. And we are, we have already, if you go to rightmarch.com, what we have set up there is a way for when people click on the Fairness Doctrine information, they can right there send a message directly to their congressmen and to their senators and let them know that, number one, they don't want the Fairness Doctrine bill passed because it would effectively silence the voice of free speech heard today on talk radio. But number two, also to support legislation that would make sure the Fairness Doctrine doesn't come back. And thankfully, we do have some legislation like that. We've got, in fact, Representative Mike Pence from Indiana has introduced the Broadcaster Freedom Act, which would prohibit the Fairness Doctrine from coming back and from being enforced. And so that's some specific legislation that we can actually promote instead.
Well, I think that sounds like a great idea, and Chris, Mike does a good job on most things, so I think that we need to just keep people abreast of what's happening, and then as this thing begins to move into committee, why try to get people to call? But it wouldn't be worthwhile calling right now, or do you think it's worthwhile calling now, or should we wait till this thing begins to shape up? Right now, of course, you're letting people know that this is in the wings, waiting to come back, you know, like the Phoenix bird.
Well, it's a good idea to contact Congress right now, specifically to ask your congressman to co-sponsor the Broadcaster Freedom Act. Right now, they have Congressman Pence has 111 co-sponsors. They're all Republicans. We need to get more co-sponsors on there. We need to make sure that it's a bipartisan bill. Because, you know, it's interesting. Last week, Congressman Pence introduced an amendment to the Financial Services Appropriations Bill, which would prohibit any funding to the FCC for the enforcement of the Fairness Doctrine should the Fairness Doctrine be resurrected. But that's only a one-year moratorium on funding if they are able to get the Fairness Doctrine back. And so we really do need to have a more permanent bill. But he got 309 members of Congress to support that amendment to the appropriations bill. So it's our hope that people will contact their congressmen and their senators asked them to help sponsor the Broadcaster Freedom Act so that this thing can be nipped in the bud. If the liberals see that there's this much opposition to the fairness doctrine, then we may be able to stop them before they even get the bill forward in committee.
Well, now, how can we actually see the Mike Pence's bill? And, you know, I can think it's important that we look at these pieces of legislation so our listeners have a chance to look at them as well.
Well, in fact, we have it up on our website as well. If you go to rightmarch.com and simply click on Issues and Legislation, we have a copy of the Broadcaster Freedom Act there. And, you know, it's the liberals aren't ashamed of what they're doing. If you go to Maurice Hinchey's website, he's got a copy of the Media Reform Act up, Media Ownership Reform Act, where he is trying to reintroduce the fairness doctrine. So, well, we do have it up on the site, the Broadcaster Freedom Act, so folks can go right there and take a look at that.
Well, Chris, I am certainly opposed to major corporations owning three or four outlets in any one major community because, of course, then they can influence thought there.
And they're, what they're banking on is that people who feel that way will say, well, I do agree with that, and I'm in favor of fairness. So, hey, yeah, that's fine. Let's put this fairness doctrine back in there as well. They've coupled those two together so they can sort of ride the coattails of media ownership, and that's, I think that's the real danger we have of it actually getting through. And if it were to get through and get passed, and you would assume that President Bush would veto it, but you can't assume anything nowadays. We've seen this too much with different issues lately, where you really can't make those assumptions. You would assume that the Supreme Court would strike it down as unconstitutional, but for all those years from 1949 to 1987, the Supreme Court said it was constitutional. And so we have a new Supreme Court. Perhaps the new makeup will help with that, but you can't be sure of anything. So that's, it's up to us, to we the people, to actually hold their feet to the fire. And sort of, in order for them to see the light, sometimes they need to feel the heat. And we need to make sure that that heat is being applied as the people, the constituents, contacting our elected representatives.
Amen to that. Well, I certainly think it's an admirable thing that you're doing, drawing our attention to that. And that is rightmarch.com, where they can actually see the legislation.
Yes, if you just go to rightmarch.com, click on the Issues and Legislation, and we've got it listed there specifically as the Broadcaster Freedom Act. And the good thing about the Broadcaster Freedom Act is that it is specifically targeted at the Fairness Doctrine. What it will do is prohibit the FCC from prescribing any rules or regulations or policies that will reinstate this requirement that broadcasters present opposing viewpoints in controversial issues of public importance. And so the Broadcaster Freedom Act will also prevent the FCC or any future president from reinstating the fairness doctrine. So it ensures true freedom, it ensures true fairness that it'll remain on our radio airwaves. And so we really want to encourage our legislators to sign on as co-sponsors. The more co-sponsors that you get, the more likely it is that even the Democrat leadership will say, okay, well, we'll bring this bill to the floor for a vote. If it stays stuck at just over 100 co-sponsors, even though that's a lot of co-sponsors, it's not enough to get it to the floor for a vote.
Okay, fine. Well, I certainly encourage our listeners to look into this because we want to be able to continue telling you the truth. Are there any other issues you'd like to bring to our people today?
Well, you were talking a little bit earlier about the amnesty bill. It's kind of interesting because at rightmarch.com we were very involved in, just as I'm sure you and so many other people were, in getting the word out about this amnesty bill. And we felt very elated that we were able to sort of kill the bill again. It's kind of like a zombie, though. It keeps rising from the dead, and we just keep having to kill it again. We can't be too complacent about that because I was watching the voting on C-SPAN 2, and immediately after it was announced that the cloture vote had failed, and so they were going to be tabling the amnesty bill again, Harry Reid got up there and said, it will be back. This bill will be brought back again. We have to be vigilant.
Well, you know, you wonder why the Democratic, a senator is pushing George Bush's bill. But we'll be right back in a moment.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold pre-retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are the ancient prophecies being fulfilled? Are we living in the end times? Why do the Muslim nations want to destroy Israel, and why is the United States selling sophisticated military weapons to Saudi Arabia and the other Muslim countries? Why is the incidence of UFO sightings increasing, and why is that important? Well, you'll find the answer to those and many other questions in Lynn Marzulli's exciting book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, because the book discusses the ancient prophecies and the supernatural force that's directing the course of world events today. You can purchase Lynn's book at www.spiraloflife.com. That's spiraloflife.com. And if you read Lynn's book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Dan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our special guest today is discussing what I think is some really very, very important issues, and certainly he's running for the rightmarch.com, Mr. William Green, and go right ahead, William.
Yes, well, we were just talking about some of the other issues that are getting fairly hot now. One of them is, it's kind of funny, the liberals have been pushing hard about President Bush having not pardoned but commuted the sentence of Scooter Libby, who was, of course, Vice President Dick Cheney's chief of staff. But you know what? No one's talking very much about is that there are a couple of Border Patrol agents that have been sitting in jail now since the beginning of the year that were unfairly accused and tried and found guilty, and are sitting in jail now for doing their job. We have been asking President Bush to pardon these border agent heroes since they were first tried and convicted. But what's interesting is that the difference between a convicted former chief of staff for Dick Cheney and a heroic Border Patrol agent is that the convicted former chief of staff is more likely to be granted favors from George W. Bush. Interesting. The difference between a convicted murderer and a Border Patrol agent is that the convicted murderer spends less time in prison than these Border Patrol agents that were, again, unfairly accused and found guilty and are sitting in jail now. This was something that happened 2 years ago, and not a whole lot of people have paid a lot of attention to it, but they really need to, because you had these two Border Patrol agents, their names were Ramos and Compion, and they had spotted an illegal alien who had come across the border in his van near the Rio Grande, about 30 miles southeast of El Paso. So one of the agents, Ramos, gave chase while the other agent, Compion, circled around to head off this suspect. When the suspect jumped out of his van and ran south to the river, he was confronted by Compion, and Compion was thrown to the ground as these two men fought. Ramos said that when he arrived, he saw Compion on the ground. He chased the illegal alien to the river. That suspect suddenly turned around, pointing what looked like a gun at him. So Ramos fired at this fleeing suspect. Didn't think he was hit, though, and then watched him run through the bush and jump into an awaiting van in Mexico and speed off. They went back to the guy's van on the American side and found nearly 800 pounds of marijuana worth about $1 million that he had abandoned at the river's edge then. Well, you would think that that's a job well done. This is what we pay the Border Patrol to do. That's not what happened, though. They had an investigator from the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General, which oversees the Border Patrol. This investigator tracked down the illegal alien, a guy named Aldrete Davila, in Mexico, where this guy was offered immunity in exchange for testifying against the Border Patrol agents. And so, as a result, a federal jury was convened and tried them and convicted these two agents of causing serious bodily injury, of assault with a deadly weapon, of discharge of a firearm in relation to a crime of violence, and they charged them with and found them guilty of a civil rights violation. So they were convicted by a jury on 11 out of 12 counts and began their sentences of 12 months, 11 to 12 months in January.
Incredible. I thought it was much longer than 11 to 12 months, wasn't it? Weren't they sentenced to a much longer sentence than that?
Well, when you look at, it's interesting, when you look at how the murder sentences that are usually handed down.
12 years. Wasn't 11,
well,
12?
With plea agreements, they usually get down to about 11 or 12 months.
Yeah, but on this one, didn't they send them to prison for 10 years or something?
Well, these two agents, now they're in there for 11 to 12 months. But what's happening now is they're starting to be, the inmates in the prisons where they're being held are finding out that these were Border Patrol agents. And so now these guys' lives are in danger. And, it's simply, I did mean years. You're absolutely right. Yeah. 11 to 12 years.
Right.
Which, again, when you're convicted of murder, you're usually in there, usually the sentence you get is usually about 8 or 9 years, and you get out early. And so now these guys' lives are in danger because the prisoners are finding out that they were Border Patrol agents. Well, most of these prisoners, half of them are illegal aliens. And we're put in there by Border Patrol agents We've got to get President Bush to pardon these guys now, and that's another thing we're trying to do.
All right. Well, I certainly admire that. But the thing is that we've certainly looked into those trials, and actually the prosecutor withheld evidence. Now, that is a crime, and the prosecutor withheld evidence and used a testimony. Well,
thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. 1126, or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Tourme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is William Green. Our telephone number, if you're out there in the audience, would be 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And William, did want to get your web page out there again so people would know how to get in touch with you and tell us something else?
If they go to www.rightmarch.com, that's R-I-G-H-T, march.com, then they can, in fact, they can sign up for our email list there and become a member of Right March for free. We now have about 1 million members nationwide, and so we are constantly, what we do is we are there to create activist opportunities for average patriotic Americans nationwide to take part in these things. We send out regular email alerts to people, probably 3 to 5 times a week. What we'll do is we'll say, here's an issue. and here's a way that you can take action on it. And it's as simple as just clicking to send a message directly to your congressman or senator, and you can be a grassroots activist in 2 or 3 minutes every day. And so we, using the power of the internet and the tools of the internet, we're able to really generate a lot of response on the issues that are so important today. We've seen around 5 million messages go through our website in the last 4 years, going to Congress and the Senate and the President, including on things like we're talking about today, including our campaign to get President Bush, now that he has commuted Scooter Libby's sentence, to get him to pardon these two wrongly convicted Border Patrol agents.
What sort of response have you had? Because it seems that he, really, of course, went right along with this. His Justice Department went right along with this to send a message to the officers down there at the border. Don't try to stop the illegals from coming in, because very obviously he has a different agenda. He wanted to give them amnesty, and there have been instance after instance where the Justice Department, the Bush administration Justice Department, has gone after Border Patrol agents who are just trying to do their job.
Yeah, I'm incredibly disheartened and disappointed in the Bush administration, especially when it comes to issues like this. We have seen over and over again where they've done exactly what you're talking about. They are really not only not discouraging illegal immigration, they are actively encouraging illegal immigration. There's a lot of different reasons that can be put forth for that. I think, of course, a big part of it is you've got a lot of business interests that really want the cheap, almost slave labor that is available now, and then that puts Americans out of jobs and lowers the standard of living for everyone. I think it's unfortunate that this is what we're having to deal with. However, we are still the people. And as we saw with this amnesty bill, if we will band together and if we will make our voices heard in a really strong way, then we can have an effect on the process. These senators wanted to pass that amnesty bill. They desperately wanted to pass that bill. But because we were, as the people, we were so adamant, because we were informed by talk radio, we were informed by internet, websites and blogs and alternative media. Because of that information getting out there, we were able to say, no, we're not putting up with this, and to stop it, at least this time, to stop it in its tracks. That's what we have to keep doing, even when it comes to things like these two Border Patrol agents. These guys need to be pardoned a lot more than Scooter Libby needs to have his sentence commuted. Whether that was a travesty or an injustice or in itself, this is much more of an injustice in having these two Border Patrol agents still locked up there and really in danger of losing their lives, unless they're put in solitary confinement, in which case they're in danger of losing their sanity.
Right. Well, I thought that Ramos was, or either Ramos or Campos was in solitary confinement for his own protection.
Yes. In fact, you've got one of them that has, it was Ramos, that was badly assaulted by fellow inmates in his Mississippi prison. You had four inmates attacked him. They kicked him in the head. They kicked him in the side and the shoulders. They had steel-toed boots on in doing it. He had injuries from bleeding from the ear. He had a degree of paralysis that developed in his left arm, migraine headaches that developed. They had to put him in solitary confinement just so that he wouldn't be killed. And solitary confinement is supposed to be done as a punishment for good reason. It really does. It really can drive you crazy. Oh. And so that's what we're having to deal with. Now, not only did this administration choose the side of an illegal immigrant drug dealer over the agents who stopped him from smuggling a load of drugs into this country, now they failed to protect that agent while this case is on appeal. This has got to be corrected.
And, of course, the thing is that they do have some prisons, a lot of prisons, where, it's not very strict, where it's not too hard, where, they don't have maximum security. These fellas are not going to try to escape. I mean, they're law-abiding citizens. So why don't they put them there? It's very obvious that putting them into a place where they can be physically harmed and where their lives are in danger is a message to every Border Patrol officer: don't do the right thing. or you could end up like Ramos and Campion. And that is what's so frightening. I think George Bush had to be held responsible for the actions of his administration. The buck stops at the top. He's in charge, and he has seriously damaged the health of these patriotic men who are simply doing their job for their country. And I think that every American should be writing to the president. And certainly he should be barraged with all sorts of things, you know, letting him know how displeased we are with what he's doing. In fact, maybe we have to, you know, they were able to get one of the television programs on, something called Jericho, by sending, you know, 10,000 tons of, or something like that, of peanuts to CBS. I wonder what we can say to the president to dramatize the fact that he has an obligation to protect people who are trying to protect America.
Well, I think it's a great question. Maybe we can send him. Everybody send him a spine or something, because right now he doesn't have one. I mean, this outrageous prosecution and sentences. It's like you said. It does nothing but tie the hands of the Border Patrol. It prevents the agency from securing America against a flood of illegal immigrants, of drugs, of counterfeit goods. And really, we have to face the fact, a flood of quite possibly terrorists.
Right.
And it puts the rights of illegal smugglers ahead of our homeland security. And it undermines the critical mission of better enforcing immigration laws. These two agents should not be made scapegoats for our government's enforcement failures. We really do need to step up the plate here, which is, again, at rightmarch.com, we've set it up so all you have to do is click on that action alert, and you can send a message immediately to President Bush to let him know how you feel about this. But does he read every one of them? No, he doesn't read, I think, any of the messages that come in, but he gets a tally of what's coming in on a regular basis, and if we let up on this, if we don't continue to send messages saying you must
he's going to have to face his responsibility to stand up like a man and say to Dick Cheney, I'm going to do what's right rather than what you want me to do.
Well, he was more than willing to commute the prison sentence of Scooter Libby, who was convicted of obstruction of justice, convicted of false statements, convicted of perjury. Again, whether he was falsely convicted or not isn't even the issue that we're talking about. We're asking President Bush to do the right thing. If he's willing to commute that prison sentence, he should be issuing pardons for these two agents.
Yeah, but
he should at least consider allowing the agents to go free while their case is heard on appeal.
Well, Chris, remember that, of course, that Scooter Libby was a good friend of Dick Cheney. In fact, many people feel that Scooter took the fall for Dick Cheney, who was the one who really released the information. And maybe Dick Cheney's really is orchestrating everything going on there, and maybe President Bush just sort of reads the scripts that Dick Cheney puts in front of him.
Maybe so. You know, it's hard to tell what's going on inside this White House anymore. When we elected Bush and Cheney, I think we thought we were getting a bill of goods that we ended up not being delivered. And I think a lot of people have had their eyes open to this. And I'm hoping that we're not going to get fooled again in this next election with somebody new coming down the pike.
Okay, well, you know, I think that it's really so important. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. 1-800-259-5791. How do you feel about Ramos and Campion? How do you feel about a president who sends, you know, innocent men to prison and certainly pardons or commutes a sentence on some guy, the little guy is a friend of Dick Cheney's, worked for Dick Cheney, was actually part of the original project for the New American Century cabal that got us into the mess we are today. And you, if you don't believe that, go to their website, newamericancentury.org. That's newamericancentury.org. And look at the 1997 report they put out where they have their statement of principles. You'll find Scooter Libby there right along with John Bolton and Sidney Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and Jeb Bush and Gary Bauer and all the usual suspects who established the foreign policy that's got us into the mess we are today in Afghanistan and Iraq. So, anyway, so are there any other really important issues you'd like to talk about, William?
We've got maybe one more, and that is an interesting thing that's happened, and in fact, it would affect could affect your show as well. We were talking about the fairness doctrine at the beginning, which would really affect talk radio. Well, at the same time, we have an issue with internet radio that could actually kill off a lot of internet radio that has sprung up. And I know that your show, like so many talk shows, is webcast over the internet. There's a lot of internet-only talk shows and radio shows and so forth that are out there. But one of the things that has happened has been the royalty rates for webcasters have been drastically increased by a recent ruling, and they're due to this due to effect I think on July 15th, which is retroactive to January 1st, 2006, and to where you're looking at increased royalty rates between 300% and 1,200% increase. That the Copyright Royalty Board, which oversees the sound recording royalties paid by internet radio services, increase these things. And so so what's happened here is not they have doubled what satellite radio pays. They've multiplied the royalties even further. Before this ruling was handed down, the vast majority of webcasters and a lot of conservative and especially Christian webcasters are in this group. They were barely making ends meet as internet radio advertising revenue is just now beginning to develop. Without a doubt, most internet radio services, including a lot of the services that are webcasting Christian music, that are webcasting sermons, that have music snippets between sermons or part of sermons or what have you, most of these services will go bankrupt and they will cease webcasting if Congress doesn't reverse this royalty rate. And so what one of the things that we're doing is to try to help save internet radio. There's a piece of legislation that's been introduced called the Internet Radio Equality Act that that we are trying to let people know about so that we don't lose internet radio when it's really just started to bloom. It's been introduced in the House side and the Senate side. It would nullify this March 2nd determination of the copyright royalty judges with respect to webcasting. But we only have until July 15th to get these bills passed. And so this is coming up very quickly. There was even a day of silence that thousands of webcasters observed about a week ago to show this is what's going to happen if this does not take place, if this bill isn't passed, if we don't stop what they're trying to do. And so we are sending out information asking people to contact their congressmen, contact their senators, and ask them to support the Internet Radio Equality Act, because it's something that where people, and I know that there you've got thousands of listeners listening to your show online. It could affect your show online. It could affect shows that are online only, something that we need to get the word out about to help pass this Internet Radio Equality Act.
Well, right now I pay about $400 a year to play just a little snippet of America the Beautiful. Mm-hmm. That I had to get a special permission to do that. Never had to do this sort of thing before. I mean, you had to, because we already pay for a radio station for the right to broadcast radio. But, you know, because we had to take our own radio station off of the Internet, just for that very, very reason. But some of the programs I put out like this, I'm paying over a dollar a day just to play this little snippet of music that comes out of the very beginning of my program, America the Beautiful. So I certainly agree with you, and I think that all of these things are important. It almost seems like there's an organized, coordinated effort all across America to block the American people from hearing the truth and to interfere with regular talk radio and internet radio, and it's almost as if somebody doesn't want them to hear the truth.
Well, it's almost that way, and I think, in fact,
high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information. Analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, rocket trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
The Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I need to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us across America, we do hope that many of you give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. That's the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and when you do that, you'll get our four best tapes of the month or CDs, and you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you're helping us do what we do. Of course, you can just subscribe to the newsletter, or you can actually go up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com and pull down the newsletters for nothing. You can pull down our radio programs, they're archived there for about 6 weeks, and MP3s are available. And then, of course, a lot of our videos are available on our website, on the video site you can link to. We hope that you want to get the videos from us so you can show them to others, but many of them we've actually posted there because we want you to get the information and help us to get the information out. And anything that we have actually produced, you have our permission to duplicate as long as you don't sell them, you know, just give them away while you do them with our blessing. Well, if you've not yet seen Sidney and my talk on The Forbidden Secret, you need to get that. It's a DVD. We think it's a great DVD and or video. It comes with a syllabus, and, of course, it'll take you into the secret that's been passed down through the centuries by the secret societies. It's basically the same secret that Rhonda Burns puts out in her book, sold 5 million copies now, but of course she's trying to get you involved with this effort to contact the beings from the other dimension, truly demonic beings who you can contact with a Ouija board or with certain tricks of meditation, and sometimes they'll answer your requests. but at the cost of your eternal soul. Understand, we're involved in the spiritual battle. There really are spiritual forces there. There are organizations that are in contact with these spirit beings. And they are the ones who really are directing this whole effort for the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. So that's my talk on the secret, pardon me, on the forbidden secret. We have a four-tape set or a four-CD set. What you need to have, that's called The Secret Behind the Secret. Certainly my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness, Chris Pinto's great DVDs on the secret mysteries of America's beginning, and Riddles in Stone. That's the secret mysteries of America's beginning, and Riddles in Stone. Let me mention, we have a three pamphlet set, and it's titled The Occult Hierarchy. The Occult Hierarchy. It's a compilation of our newsletters. You need to understand that there really is an occult hierarchy. You can go to the website at lucistrust.com. That's lucistrust.com or org. I can't quite remember which it is. I guess maybe it's lucistrust.org. But, you know, understand that these people are in contact with the beings from the other dimension, which is what witchcraft and Satanism and all of these things are about. You want to get the book on satanic crimes put out by William Kennedy. I assume you want to get our book, Program to Kill, or on Operation Monarch. We get a great new DVD on Operation Monarch. We've got a great book called Diary of a Devil Hunter, written by a former Satanist, who, of course, is trying to get the information out. And he goes around talking to police forces across America about satanic crimes and the satanic covens that are out there all across America. And then the FBI sends out their expert who says, oh, there's nothing to it. Now, why do you think the FBI is doing that? Whose side are they on? Are they on the side of truth, or are they on the side of the Satanists? Understand, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So please pray for America, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylamines, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today we have a fascinating guest, and I think you'll be really very interested in what he's going to tell you. His name is Dr. George Fletcher, and he's a family practitioner who's been studying the effect of iodine and the fact that, we used to have iodine in our bread, we used to have iodine in our milk, we used to have iodine in all of our salt. And then, some time ago, without the knowledge of most physicians, why they remove the milk from the, well, the, I should say, the iodine from the milk and the bread, and from about half of the table salt that you're going to be buying. And we see a progressive increase in the incidence of fibrocystic breast disease and breast carcinoma, and of course we see all sorts of other diseases. But I'm going to let Dr. Fleischus tell you this amazing story that certainly changed my outlook. I've checked this out with several other very competent physicians and advisors, and everything he tells you is gospel truth. So, George, Dr. George Fleischus, thank you so much for being with us again.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, so why don't you tell us how you got involved in this and what you've learned?
Well, back in the 1990s, we were looking at trace minerals and what diseases show up when you don't have enough certain trace minerals. And one of them that we looked at was iodine. And iodine is used traditionally by the human thyroid to make thyroid hormone. And in this particular study that was published in the Journal for the American Medical Association, they found that iodine that the absence of iodine was associated with an increase in fibrocystic breast disease. Now, that's a problem where there's a lot of cysts, nodules, and scar tissue in the breast, and especially in, and it hits, in the United States, it hits about 84% of the women in the United States. Now, what's interesting is that we were not aware of the relationship between iodine and breast tissue. We were aware of the lack of iodine causing problems with low thyroid disease in humans, but what we were not aware of was the relationship between the absence of iodine and breast. As time progressed, we were able to start by doing different studies. We were able to see that there were relationships present, such as if you take away iodine from the thyroid, you get problems with cysts, nodules, scar tissue, and enlargement. And traditionally, we call that goiter. If you take away iodine from the breast has an enzyme in it called lactoperoxidase. And lactoperoxidase has the ability to attach iodine to different tissues, and in fact, lactoperoxidase is found in just about all the tissues of the body.
All right, I'm going to ask you just to hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here. We have some other stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. George Fleischus, and we're talking about iodine. And for those of you out there listening, audience, most people don't think too much about iodine. People think about it in case of a nuclear attack, or they think about it in reference to goiter. But we always assume we must be getting plenty of iodine if we don't have a goiter. And Dr. Fleischus has been on the cutting edge of evaluating what's going on. In fact, he's part of a small group of doctors who are really studying this, and we've had several others on. And in fact, there is going to be a big meeting sometime in the next week or two where the doctors who are studying this are getting together. But, of course, iodine is not only important as far as the thyroid. It's important as far as the breast and as far as the ovaries and as far as so many other functions of the human body. And the average American, is deficient in iodine. So you go ahead and pick the story up, Dr. Fleischus.
What we discovered is that the breast tissue has an enzyme called lactoperoxidase, which has the ability to attach iodine to breast tissue, and it's the absence of iodine in that tissue that's felt to be the source of cysts in the breast, nodules in the breast, scar tissue, cyclic breast pain just before the periods, and so on. And we found the same thing is true in the ovary. In fact, the human ovary is second to the thyroid as far as its ability to concentrate iodine. And the absence of iodine in the ovary gives you cysts, nodules, scar tissue. At its worst, we call it polycystic ovarian disease, and so on. Now, it's interesting that if you go back in American history about 100 years ago up in the northeast area around the Great Lakes region, that like in Akron, Ohio, 56% of the people in Akron had problems with goiter. And this can be said true for many of the cities in Michigan and Illinois and so on. So we're talking about places like Milwaukee, Chicago, Buffalo, Akron, et cetera. Now, what we did in studies that were done back then showed that people who had goiter had a much higher incidence of breast cancer, a much higher incidence of esophageal cancer, stomach cancer, ovarian cancer, and cancer of the endometrium, the lining of the uterus. And as time has progressed, we've now been able to see that these cancers that are showing up in these tissues are directly related to the absence of iodine. Now, it's interesting that if you look at somebody who has a goiter, patients have a higher incidence of thyroid cancer.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Dr. George Fletcher, and he was simply pointing out that in the days where we had a lot of people with goiters, we had a higher incidence of thyroid cancer and breast cancer and esophageal cancer and other cancers in the people who had a thyroid deficiency as manifested by goiter. And, of course, the relationship between, say, polycystic ovarian disease and, of course, the low iodine and the fibrocystic breast disease, which is so common in women, and shortages of iodine. So you pick the story up there.
Well, back in July 22 of 2005 in the New England Journal of Medicine, they published that women who had benign breast changes, which is now the new term for fibrocystic breast disease, that women with benign breast changes had a higher rate of breast cancer. We've known for years that women who had problems with polycystic ovaries have a much higher problem with ovarian cancer by the time they get into their 40s and 50s. In fact, many gynecologists recommend that women who suffer with chronic polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, need to have their ovaries removed by the time their 40s and 50s come around because of that increased risk for development of cancer. Another thing that we've discovered is that iodine is crucial towards normal function of the skin. The sweat glands of the body are very iodine-dependent, and without iodine, the sweat glands don't function, and they have problems with very dry skin. And, in fact, these people also complain about not being able to sweat when they get hot. And I've seen multiple patients who have come in and told me about not being able to sweat. And as a family practice doctor, I wasn't aware of the relationship. Now that I am, we're able to intervene early and take care of these patients. But many a patient that's come down with cancer, one of the things I've asked them about is, you know, before they developed the cancer, had they had problems with not being able to sweat? And the answer was yes. You know, they haven't been able to, especially with people that live here in the South where we get these 98% humidity with the heat of index of 90 to 100. And these patients will tell you that even though they get outside and work, they don't sweat. Of interest is that as physicians work with patients, that they, you know, as patients get older, they have problems with hypertension. And it's interesting that one of the first things doctors tell patients to stop doing is to stop eating salt because the salt pushes their hypertension problem. But if you look at it, we took the iodine out of the bread, we took the iodine out of the milk. About 50% of women cook with iodized salt. The other 50% don't. And when you take away the salt that people have, our elderly population, and I'm going to say people above age 60, have problems with lack of iodine due to the fact that they're eating much less salt. And in fact, if you look at it, approximately one-fourth to one-third of everyone above age 60 who becomes senile, they become senile due to the lack of thyroid hormone. And it's crucial that the thyroid needs iodine in order to make that thyroid hormone. You were mentioning nuclear attacks and so on, but one thing we've discovered is that in Japan, we've dropped two nuclear bombs on these people, and their land is loaded with radioactive material. And yet the Japanese eat seaweed about three times a day, plus in their snacks and so on. And the seaweed contains lots of iodine. That, in turn, is helping the Japanese to have some of the lowest rates of breast cancer, gynecological cancers, different types of cancers throughout the world. And if you go to, and just because they eat the iodine. Now, if you go to a place like Chernobyl in the Ukraine, in Chernobyl, there was a massive radiation leak. There's still a lot of radiation in the area, and the rate of cancer is just astronomical for the Russians, Ukrainians that are living in the area. But the Russian government has not stepped in and tried to help these people by making them all take iodine.
You know, one of the things I've really learned from Dr. Fletcher is that the Japanese, you know, eat about 12.5 milligrams of iodine a day. We eat about 12.5 micrograms. What do they have, about 100 times the amount of iodine we do in Japan?
That's right. That's right. So the Japanese are eating about 100 times more iodine than we do. And we've discovered that if you have a lack of iodine, like in early pregnancy, that the absence of iodine in early pregnancy produces children who have problems with attention deficit disorder. Now, that was just published like 2 years ago in the some of the endocrine journals. And so it's the absence of iodine in early pregnancy, not later pregnancy. I mean, you can have a woman who has normal thyroid hormones or a baby with normal thyroid hormones at the end of a pregnancy, but the influence of iodine on the pregnancy will increase a baby's IQ. So the human IQ is heavily influenced by the presence of iodine, and you can make a you can produce a human being that has an IQ increase of at least 15 points by just providing the baby iodine throughout the pregnancy and for the first 2 years after the pregnancy, and that will produce very intelligent children, but the absence produces ADD.
Well, what about, of course, now, so often they're not only taking the iodine out, but they're giving them fluoride, which competes, you know, for the position on the, in the you know, in the thyroid gland. So what happens when you give deprive them of iodine and give them fluoride?
Yeah, the Chinese did us a favor by doing a study on Chinamen who had very low iodine intakes in their diet, and so they were kind of marginal. And they took and introduced fluoridated water into the communities where this was present. And what ended up happening was is that the Chinese documented an increase in children who had problems with cretinism. Another word for that is just that these children were turning out as imbeciles and mentally retarded in the presence of taking fluoridated water in a community where there was very little iodine. Now think about it. In the United States, we're subtracting a tremendous amount of iodine in the American dietary, and then we're taking and putting in water with fluoride. In fact, go down to your local Walmart, and you can see that they sell distilled water. But if you'll look right to the left or right of that, you'll see that they have, quote, distilled water with fluoride to sell for the children in the population. And you know, the introduction of fluoride in a marginally deficient area where there's very little iodine will produce children whose mental IQ will be much less than what it would be otherwise.
And then we wonder why our children, when they graduate from high school, cannot compete effectively with children from Lithuania and Latvia and other areas, you know, where, and you have to ask yourself why. Why are our kids, children, not really as smart as the children from other countries academically when they graduate from high school?
You got it. And it becomes a real problem. And so we've had to try to educate our parents to start producing, you know, to try to introduce iodine early into a child's environment to help develop the baby's IQ.
You know, when I was growing up, they always used to refer to fish, which contains iodine, as brain food. And, of course, working in Catholic hospitals, every Friday you had to have fish. They didn't have meat. Everybody had to have fish. And everybody knew it was good for you. And then, well, we've sort of got away from all of that.
That's true. The other problem is that back in about the 1960s and 70s, we took away the iodine out of the American diet, such as in the bread, but we introduced another ominous product, and that's called bromide. And bromide, the body can substitute bromide in place of iodide and produce some rather strange things in our bodies, such as if you start introducing a lot of bromide into the thyroid tissue, you can come up with an increased risk of development of breast cancer and thyroid cancer and other types of cancers just because of the introduction of bromide. Now, the other problem is that if you look at the sodas that are being drank, here in the South, one of the sodas that is very common is that of Mountain Dew. And you'll find on the side of the Mountain Dew bottle, it says brominated vegetable oil. And they've been at, and here in the South, we have, like my son went to the local high school, and when I went over there to the, and visited him in the Commons area, I saw that out of 12 vending machines that were selling soda drinks, 10 out of the 12 were all selling Mountain Dew. And it turns out that the Mountain Dew with the brominated vegetable oil, an average for all males in the South here about by age 8 to about age 15, they're drinking about 5 of these a day. And the bromide is causing problems with abdominal pain, problems with bad breath, problems with cardiac arrhythmias, and giving them problems with acute paranoid psychosis. In fact, we used to, before Alka-Seltzer, we had a product on the American diet and the American pharmaceutical that was called Bromo-Seltzer. And Bromo-Seltzer between 1920 and 1960 was responsible for at least 20% of all acute paranoid schizophrenia admissions to American psychiatric hospitals. So that this bromide that's being put into the bread, bromide being put into the soft drinks and so on, is not benign material. This stuff is can potentially affect the function of the human brain.
And, of course, you have to ask yourself, why did they take the iodine out and put in the bromide?
That's right.
Iodine that's good for the brain, bromide that's bad, and it kept actually produced a frank psychosis. We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. George Fletcher talking about this subject, which I think each one of you must look into and find out if it's true. I'm convinced it is. Well, Dr. Fletcher, you go right ahead there.
Well, we have discovered that with the use of iodine, now, iodine was first brought into the forefront by Napoleon's scientists who discovered bromide in seaweed. I'm sorry, who discovered iodine in seaweed. And they, and iodine was actually one of the first pharmaceutical drugs that was successfully used in the treatment of a major illness. And that is the use treatment of goiter. By you know, right now in the United States, the average American is eating about 138 micrograms of iodine per day. But back in the days of back 100 years ago, here in the Northeast, they were giving somewhere between 50 to 150 milligrams of iodine in order to get rid of goiter. Now, there's a lot of doctors out there who think that if you give people iodine, it's they're treating it as if this stuff was a poison. And what doctors don't recognize is that if they went back and looked at medical history, they would find that iodine was one of the first successful pharmaceutical minerals that we were able to use to treat a major illness. Now you'll think about the 1800s, back during that time period, if a person came down with syphilis or if they came down with gonorrhea or something, they would be given strychnine, they'd be given mercury, they'd be given all sorts of poisonous materials to get rid of their infectious illnesses and so on. But one of the most successful ventures in the field of pharmaceutical was the treatment of goiters with the use of iodine. Well, today we find that iodine not only helps to shrink goiters, and we're talking about 50 to 150 milligrams a day, But if you put a woman on iodine for fibrocystic breast disease, that within just a matter of a few days to a few weeks, her breast pain is totally gone, and it will stay away as long as she's taking iodine. If she comes off the iodine, the breast pain will come back within a few weeks. But we have discovered that if you take a woman with fibrocystic breast disease with lots of recurrent cysts and scar tissue and painful tissues, and you put them on about 50 milligrams of iodine a day, that within a period of about three years, that they can have a 50 to a 90% reduction in the presence of fibrocystic disease in the breast tissue. So just as giving iodine got rid of goiters and can help to get rid of those, giving iodine helps to get rid of fibrocystic breast disease. Now, it turns out that women who have problems with recurrent cysts in the ovaries, you give them iodine and within a few months their cysts in the ovaries start disappearing. It's interesting that women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome or PCOS, these women have periods maybe once every 9 months to a year, because the ovaries are just not functioning like they should. I want you to put a woman on 50 milligrams of iodine a day. I would dare say that probably 90-95% of these women will within 6 months start having periods. And in my medical practice, out of something like six patients who have polycystic ovaries, where they have problems with infertility.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Fletcher is talking about how if you treat women with fibrocystic disease of the breast, it will get better, and long-term treatment will really do away with most of the disease. And certainly many women with polycystic disease have the ovary, of course, can't conceive, but if you put them on the iodine, and he was saying, what, you've had about six patients with polycystic ovaries?
Yep, about six patients with polycystic ovaries, started on 50 milligrams of iodine a day, and within a period of 6 months, they would start having periods every 28 days, right on schedule. And we also found out that the fertility rate went up. And so, out of the six patients who have PCOS, four have gotten pregnant and have had children now. So that this problem with polycystic ovaries is a major problem of infertility in the United States, and it looks like iodine may be a thing that needs to be looked at very closely by the endocrine doctors as to a reason why infertility is on the rise here in the United States. The other problem that we have noticed is a problem of hormone resistance. We noticed that I had a lady that came in one time to the office, and she had an abnormally super high blood sugar of about 1,300. Usually that type of blood sugar will kill somebody. And we gave her some insulin and started treating her with insulin. 2 weeks later, she was seen in the office, and I said, you know, while you were hospitalized, I noticed that you had a lot of cysts and nodules and scar tissue in your breast tissue, and I said, we need to put you on some iodine to help you to get your breast into better health. And it was interesting that then I taught her how to use a glucometer and how to check her blood sugars two times a day. Well, she comes in a month later, and her average blood sugar for the whole month was something like 98. And I said, oh, you're doing so good with your diet. You're doing so good with your exercise program. Doing so good with insulin. And she said, oh, didn't I tell you? I came off of insulin about 3 or 4 weeks ago because the insulin was giving me problems with hypoglycemia. And she said, even if I went down to 1 or 2 units of insulin, I still got that hypoglycemia. And I sat there and said, well, what do you think happened? And she said, soon after you started me on that iodine stuff, she said, I started experiencing episodes of hypoglycemia, and she said, it's got to be the iodine. So So then we waited another month. She continued to keep taking iodine. And when she came back a month later, her average blood sugar was 92. Now, one of the if you look at patients who have diabetes, 90% of diabetics have plenty of insulin. There's plenty of insulin in the body. What they have is what's called insulin-resistant diabetes. That is, the body doesn't recognize the presence of the insulin. Iodine helps to increase the recognition of the body to the presence of the insulin. And I can say that it's not just insulin. We can talk about we can talk about thyroid hormone. We can talk about testosterone. We can talk about cortisone. We can talk about just about every major hormone in the body. Every receptor needs iodine in order to be able to function more efficiently. And so what we're finding is that a lot of diseases, and I see this quite often in the practice, where I have patients who come in and say, I say, well, how long have you been on Synthroid or thyroid medication? And they'll say, oh, I've been on thyroid medication for the last 10 years, and it seems like every time I go in to see the doctor once a year to get my thyroid medication adjusted, that he keeps upping the dose of thyroid hormone in order to control my symptoms. And once they start taking iodine, there is a dramatic decrease in the total amount of thyroid hormone that's necessary to control their medications. In fact, I'm a vegetarian, and vegetarians, about 80% of them have problems with iodine deficiency. And I developed low thyroid disease many years ago, and once I learned all this about iodine, I started taking iodine, and within a year or two, I was able to come off all thyroid medication, and my total thyroid symptoms and thyroid system is controlled by just taking iodine. I no longer have to take thyroid hormone, and I just control everything with the use of iodine.
Well, there's a lot here that most people really are unaware of. We didn't realize that taking the iodine out of our bread and out of our milk and out of half of our salt, why would they have done something that foolish that would be so hazardous to our health? We'll be back here in just a moment or two with Dr. George Flesses as we explore iodine and really the body needs it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess it's Dr. George Flesses, and I think it's important that people understand that in Japan, where they have high doses of iodine, they have much lower levels of fibrocystic breast disease, much lower levels of cancer of the breast, and many other cancers as well. In fact, they even have lower levels of heart disease there. What's the relationship of iodine to heart disease? Is there any relationship that we know of between iodine and heart disease?
As far as we know, it's if you have slight fluctuations in thyroid hormone. Thyroid hormone helps to control lipid metabolism. And so if you don't have enough thyroid hormone, then your blood fats go up. And I recently saw a man that came into my practice who had a cholesterol level of over 900. And he was having problems with low thyroid disease. We put him on some thyroid hormone, and by the time he came into the next office visit, without treating him with any other medications, we found that his cholesterol levels had dropped almost 500 or 600 points. So it just kind of shows us some of the sensitivities of the human body to fluctuations in thyroid hormone. One thing that we've discovered, too, is that there's different types of iodine. There is iodine versus iodide. Iodide is the salt of the iodine, and we find that there are different tissues that can absorb different forms of iodine, such as the stomach prefers iodine And in fact, iodine can be transferred straight into the bloodstream at the level of the stomach. And the thyroid prefers iodide, the salt. It's interesting that breast tissue needs both. You need to have iodine and iodide in order to maintain normal, healthy breasts. It's also interesting that brain tissue prefers iodide because iodide is used to is actively being pumped into the cerebrospinal fluid, and then the iodide inside your cerebrospinal fluid helps to increase the sensitivity of the neurotransmitters inside. Now that's interesting because we've had patients who started taking iodine combination, and what they found was is that people who've had long-standing problems with depression, and once they started taking this iodine, they found that their mental spirits just improved. They were feeling better.
Hold that thought right. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Fletcher has been talking about how people, they get onto iodine. It seems many times it influences their mood. Well, of course, it's beginning to have a direct effect on the brain. Your brain needs iodine, and of course, we, most Americans, have a deficient diet. And as we pointed out, the Japanese consume about 12.5 milligrams of iodine every day. Here in America, 12.5 micrograms, about 1/100 as much as they have in Japan. Yet the Japanese are far healthier than we are. And of course, at one time we used to have much higher doses of iodine than we do today. So pick up the story there.
Well, what we found is that the prostate tissue is very iodine dependent, as not so much iodide. Of interest is that if you look at males here in North America, that if you as a male don't die from a heart attack, what you're going to end up dying from is prostate cancer. And of the men who develop prostate cancer, about 40% will have problems with metastatic prostate cancer. Now, one of the things that one of the research studies that was looked at in the Japanese population showed that in Japan, men hardly ever die of prostate cancer. And it's felt that it's the iodine, and this was research that was done at the Mayo Clinic, but it was research done there showing that iodine is what keeps cancer from spreading, especially prostate cancer. And so we have, and in the United States, men just don't eat iodine, and as a result, the cancers are spreading.
And, of course, we have so much higher incidence of cancer today than we had, 30 years ago?
That's right. In fact, if you look at the rates of breast cancer, let's say 1959, when the birth control was first introduced, the rate of breast cancer was 1 out of every 17 women. In just this year alone, 1 out of every 8 women is coming down with breast cancer, and within another 3 or 4 years, it'll be 1 out of every 7. What's interesting is we have been spending so many billions of dollars on breast cancer research, and yet what's happening is we're looking at everything that we're doing to ourselves. And what's interesting is we haven't been paying attention to what we're not doing, which is we're not taking in this iodine, which helps to protect us from breast cancer. In Japan, very little women develop problems with breast cancer, and whereas over here the rates are very high. So that there's exciting research being done in some of the medical centers in the United States now, where they are looking into the concept about whether iodine helps to can be useful as a treatment for treatment of breast cancer.
Well, now for treatment, or would this be something you just take if you had a cancer, just going along with the rest of the treatment?
That's right. And there was a study done up in Boston showing that if you give 5 milligrams of iodine a day, just 5 milligrams of this The combination of iodine plus iodide is called Lugol's solution, named after a French physician by the name of Dr. Lugol. But they found that if you give 5 milligrams of Lugol's solution on a daily basis, that the rate of breast cancer dropped by 50% in a population of women that they were observing in the Boston area. We've been there was a doctor by the name of Dr. St. Georgi, who is the doctor who discovered vitamin C and actually taught Dr. Linus Pauling about vitamin C. And Dr. St. Georgi, before he was a vitamin C expert, was actually an iodine researcher. And he came to the United States back in the 1950s, and he recommended that the average human on this earth, that every human would benefit by taking iodine about 62 milligrams a day.
So basically, what we're saying is that the average person is getting far less iodine than they really, really need. Now, the average, there are some pills out there that are called Iodorol. And what are they, about 12.5 milligrams?
Right. There is a product out there called Iodorol. We find that if you take Lugol solution, that about 20% of patients will have problems with an upset stomach. But people who take Iodorol have less than one-half of 1% of the population have a problem with, say, an upset stomach when they take iodine.
Well, now, what about sensitivities to iodine? For instance, we get information all the time from people who are sensitive to fluoride, and they put it in the drinking water, and they have problems with that. How frequently do we see people with sensitivity to iodine?
It's interesting. If you look at iodine, there's two types of it out there. There is there's iodine in the form of organically bound iodine. This would be iodine that's bound to a protein or some other chemical. You know it as something called IBP dye, or iodine like you find in shellfish and so on. A large percentage of people who have a, quote, allergy to that type of iodine have no problem with being able to take Lugol solution or Iodorol, because this is elemental iodine. So we tell patients, look, if you can take and eat iodized salt, then you can eat, you can take these Iodorol tablets or Lugol solution, because this is elemental iodine. It's not bound to any other chemical. Having said that, what we find is that across the board for all the population, that less than one half of 1% actually have a real true iodine sensitivity. I mean, I've met a few patients who, if you give them just a pinch of iodized salt, they break out in hives and have all sorts of medical problems. And these people are extremely sensitive to iodine, and those are the ones that we have to work with the most. But luckily, there are very few in the population who have this. So iodine sensitivity is a very it's a very rare situation in our society.
Well, of course, there seems to be some sort of a relationship between, you mentioned it, alluded to it earlier, but the fact that many times the hormones will not work unless they use iodine in the diet. In other words, they don't work normally, and specifically sometimes you need to have selenium and iodine together, and then the hormones can affect our cells and really work very, very normally.
That's right. So we find that the thyroid gland produces a hormone called thyroxin, which is thyroid T4, and it's a thyroid hormone that has four iodines attached to it. Now, once the thyroid T4 gets into a cell, you have to strip one of the iodines off of the thyroid hormone to produce a chemical known as thyroid T3, and that's the biologically active thyroid hormone in the body. The ability to strip that iodine that off the thyroid T4 to make it a T3 is selenium dependent. And so a lot of times we find people who have problems with decreased ability to respond to thyroid hormone because they can't convert the thyroid T4 into the thyroid T3, which is the biologically active material. Now, the thing is that the iodine that's being stripped off can go off and join up with let's say, different receptors that can join up with the receptors to the thyroid hormone and therefore increase the sensitivity of the body to the thyroid hormone. It's not unusual for me to see a patient who comes in and says, "Doctor, I've been taking thyroid hormone for the last 20 years. I said, "Well, that's wonderful. Why are you here?" And they sit there and say, "Well, I think something's wrong because I'm constipated. My skin's dry. I'm constantly cold. My things just aren't working like they're supposed to." And when we check their thyroid T4, their T3, and their TSH, we find that the levels are normal. And as a result, in American medicine, the only thing that a doctor knows how to do is just to increase the amount of thyroid hormone that a person has. Now, back in 1976, in the Journal for the American Medical Association, the JAMA, they showed that women who take thyroid hormone double the risk of development of breast cancer. If the average risk in the population back then was 6%, by taking thyroid hormone, a woman's risk of development of breast cancer is 12%, and if she's been on thyroid hormone for greater than 15 years, her risk of breast cancer is something like 19.6%. So, and it turns out that supplemental thyroid hormone inhibits the ability of the body to absorb iodine. And because there's no iodine in the cells, then the rate of cancer starts going up. So thyroid hormone is not as benign as it looks. It's a wonderful hormone. I think it does marvelous things. But what we're finding is that it's also got a catch-22 to it, in the sense that it's increasing the potential risk of women developing breast cancer. And in fact, the day a doctor puts his patient on thyroid hormone, he's just doubled her risk of development of breast cancer.
And yet, of course, sometimes why he has to, because she's so hypothyroid, but of course, simply giving iodine in some instances actually decrease the necessity for the thyroid hormone.
That's correct. And so one of the things that we've done is we had to develop a test looking at iodine sufficiency, you know, to find out if the body is sufficient with enough iodine in order to be able to get enough iodine into the system. And a lot of times a person, all they need to do is, rather than taking more and more thyroid hormone, all they have to do is start taking iodine to get rid of this iodine insufficiency, and as that happens, their need for thyroid hormone starts going down.
And so there are other alternatives, and I think this is really such a very, very important subject, and certainly as we've talked to our other people who have looked into this, they all agree with everything Dr. Fletcher is saying, and they feel this is such an important issue. And most people, most physicians, are totally unaware of the importance of iodine and the fact that most people are really iodine deficient. And you've actually developed this test to find out whether or not, you know, whether what is sort of a thyroid loading test, where you actually have people actually take the iodine, and then of course you check the urinary output. How does that work?
Yeah, actually, this was one of the more interesting aspects of the research work we've done, and that is that the human thyroid gland holds only 3% of all the iodine in the human body. The body can hold up to 1,500 milligrams of iodine. However, the thyroid can hold up to only a maximum of maybe 50 milligrams. And it's interesting that 70% of all the iodine sits inside your muscles and sits inside the fat tissues of the body. Iodine is what keeps fatty tissues and lipids and oils from getting oxidized when they get into the body. Iodine helps to protect these tissues. That's one of its important functions besides the making of thyroid hormone. So in American medicine, what's happened is that we have learned to specialize in the minors, and we forgot that there are majors out there, in the sense that we specialize, and in fact we have a whole breed of doctors who do nothing but take care of thyroid hormone problems, and endocrinologists who do that. When And these are all, and these people are only dealing with maybe a gland that contains only 3% of all the iodine in the body, when the rest of the body is what's actually utilizing the iodine for a lot of other purposes other than just making thyroid hormones.
And because it's in the skin, it's in the breast, it's in the prostate, it's in the ovaries, it's in every tissue in our body.
You got it. That's exactly it. Now, the we have published a whole group of articles on this subject. And
where can people get that information?
I'm sorry?
Where can people get the information?
Right. You can go to my website. It's called helpmythyroid.com. And at helpmythyroid.com, we have a tab on there that says iodine research. And if you'll tab down to the bottom of that tab, you'll see different articles that have been published. And you can download these articles for free. But it's the type of thing that we basically looked at this and said, you know, this is such important work that needs to be out because there are so many people that are suffering. And we're producing in our children, we're producing children with tremendous amounts of ADD. In fact, in the United States alone, from the year 2000 through about 2005, the rate of ADD in the population went up by 500%. So that it just kind of gives us a tremendous gratification to see people responding, and also people who are willing to investigate and look into this and see that there is something else that can be done to help patients, especially with low thyroid symptoms, who may have normal thyroid hormone levels, and yet they've got all the symptoms of low thyroid disease. And rather than just cranking up the thyroid hormone and having to take more thyroid, they can start taking iodine, and that should help to turn this whole thing around.
Well, has this had any effect on children with ADD or ADHD?
The taking of iodine does not take away ADD. So it's not one thing that's been found to be helpful in that regard. It only helps to prevent the development of the illness in early life. But once you have the illness, there's other things that have to be done, such as the use of silica, such as the use of gold, and so on. And in fact, that's one of the interesting things that we have found is that you can take micronized gold tablets, and you can increase a person's IQ by almost 25 points just by taking gold. And in fact, the first person to introduce the use of gold was Moses. If you'll go back into the book of Exodus and the scriptures, you'll find that when God was talking to Moses at the top of Mount Sinai, that the people were out there worshiping a golden idol. And Moses came down there when they were having their party, and he took the golden idol and he destroyed it. He ground it up, turned it into a powder, put it in the water, and made the whole nation of Israel drink it. Now, according to the rabbis, they sit there and say, look, you know, what happened is that God's displeasure was turned into a blessing because it helped these people. But as those of us who have tried gold have found out, it does increase a person's IQ. And it'll increase it in all of us about 25 points.
Well, that's a pretty good increase. All right, fine. Well, our guest has been Dr. George Fletcher. Just one more time, the website where they can get the information.
They can get it at helpmythyroid.com.
That's helpmythyroid.com, and we're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here this afternoon. I think this is fascinating information. I hope you do as well. Well, Dr. Fletcher, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, I just implore everybody to get a hold of these articles, read them. This makes absolute sense makes a lot of sense about the illnesses that we're seeing in the American population and throughout the world, and the fact that the lack of iodine is producing a tremendous number of maladies that we just were not connecting together. And once you start studying this, you can all of a sudden start seeing that there are relationships between thyroid disease and a breast cancer and breast illnesses, that there's problems with cyst nodules and scar tissue in the thyroid, the breast, the ovaries, and so on. And all of this is being related to the absence of iodine in the American diet. It's a very simple remedy. It's a remedy that can be remedied without the use of prescription products. That you can take iodine without a prescription. It is something that's readily available. I think Dr. Stan here, I think, can get the iodine for you. It is something that it is remarkable about how well people are feeling. And we hear every day testimonials from people from throughout the whole nation about how much better they feel in the presence of taking iodine.
So well, we've started taking my wife and I, and we do carry it through Radio Liberty. We think it's a great product, and we even have some articles that we provide for people. These are written by people in academia who've been looking into this, and I'm firmly convinced that this is something that we really have missed for some time. And I don't think anybody really realized that they were taking it out of our diet. They were taking it out of our bread and out of our milk, and then they were taking it out of half of the salt. About what is it, about only 52% of the salt contains iodine now?
Right, about 50% of the salt contains iodine, and we need to encourage our American women to start being careful about what salt they get and to make sure it's iodized salt. The other thing, too, is that this thing called sea salt does not contain that much iodine in there. You have to buy iodized sea salt. And also, we need to try to teach our population how to eat more sea vegetables, such as vegetable, it's called sushi, where they use seaweed with rice and other foods. But we need to teach Americans how to eat more sea, you know, we taught the population how to become more vegetarian, but what we haven't done is to try to teach the population how to become more marine vegetarian.
Amen to that. Well, Dr. Fletcher, thank you so very much for being with us again. We really enjoy having you. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we really believe this is very important. Actually, we put together a four-tape set, my interviews with Dr. Fletcher, my interviews with Dr. Blaylock on this subject, and if you're interested in getting our four-tape set on iodine, why give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, and we'll actually send you an article by Dr. Donald Miller, who is a professor of cardiac surgery up at the University of Washington. He's done a lot of work on this as well. You can also get the Iodorol if you're interested. Simply one tablet a day gives you about 12.5 micrograms, pardon me, milligrams, of a combination of the Lugol solution and, of course, the iodized salt. And that is certainly about what the Japanese are eating. That's Iodorol. So if you'd like to get the four-tape set, or you'd simply like to get the article, or you'd like to get the four-tape, the product, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, there's so many things that we're taking that are hazardous to our health. I mean, millions of Americans are taking statin drugs. And if you are taking this prophylactic, you've never had a heart attack, you've never had a stroke, there is absolutely no evidence that it helps. Absolutely none. If you have had a heart attack or stroke, maybe 1 in 50, 1 in 75 will benefit from taking it, and all the rest are simply taking it, but it has nothing to do with lowering the cholesterol. Cholesterol, when you really need to get some of the material we have, going into the background of this, and now doctors across America, some of them, are beginning to speak out against what I think is one of the greatest frauds and misuse of medicine, and that is the statin craze. Somehow or other, if we can change your cholesterol figures, why, we're going to keep you from dying. And there's simply no evidence that that's true. If you have never had a heart attack or never had a stroke, and if you have had a heart attack or stroke, we're talking about, say, 49 people taking the medication not going to do any good, and one will help. Is it really worth that? You've got to learn how to read the package inserts and see what they really say. So if you'd like the information, we have a great four-tape set on statin drugs. We've got a booklet on statin drugs. In fact, we did a wonderful interview with Dr. Bill Sardi last night. giving you the latest information on this. If you'd like to get a copy of that latest interview with Bill Sardi on Stat Drugs, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. For an overview of what you need to do with your health, let me suggest Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. If you'd like to know what the drug companies are doing to you, you need to get the book written by the former editor of the New England Journal, Dr. Marshall Angel, on the staff at Harvard. And, of course, she wrote a book, The Truth About the Drug Companies, who are in bed with the FDA, who are giving you many times medications that are frankly harmful to your health, that know what need to be done, and, of course, to suppress the information so they can come up with some sort of molecule that they can market to you. But really, the basic things about health are really so very, very simple. You need vitamin C, and you need vitamin D, and you need selenium and magnesium, and you need the fish oils, and you need the things that will keep you healthy, including you need exercise, and you need to be on the right sort of diet. At least they're beginning to talk a little bit about that today. For years, they've been giving you all the wrong information on trans fats. Oh, you don't want to eat butter. Why, you have all these nice vegetable oils. And, of course, they've known for many, many years how harmful they were. And now, suddenly, why, we're going to outlaw the very things we've been telling you to eat all along. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. You are responsible for your health. We'll do the best we can to keep you on the cutting edge of what's going on. Please pray for America and pray for Radio Liberty. And again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.